Hey everyone, I'm JC. You can find me online, JCStrickland89 on Twitter or Reddit. And I'm joined today by my co-host, Chromatose.
Hey, what's up? I am Chromatose. You find me mostly on Reddit. That's where you'll see me. In the Discord. I don't run Twitter. I don't know how to use Twitter very well. So if you've ever been on the sub, that's where you'll find me most of the time there.
So this evening, we're going to be talking about a few things. We're gonna be running down the Baselli Hall of Fame snub. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Ramsey interview. We'll cover on the Super Bowl. What else do we have?
We have a little bit. We're just some discussions just from our opinions about some of the off-season stuff. You know, like the whole Foles for a third. Maybe what we think is going to happen with Blake. Just a random guess. We have nothing here. As well as maybe a little bit of subreddit news that we have just to throw out for us. If anybody's actually listening and pays attention to the sub as well.
Okay, well, let's jump right into it. The biggest Jags news of the week, I guess, is Tony Baselli getting snubbed again for the Hall of Fame. What's your take on Baselli on the snub?
So, while, you know, he's like our best chance, I guess, for the time being to see somebody get into the Hall of Fame, as a Jags fan, we all kind of know that it's going to be a long shot for him to get in, especially this year, and really kind of ever in a way. You know, he just doesn't have the longevity of some of the other players that are in the, you know, in the running for the Hall of Fame. Even though he was an elite tackle for the years that he played, the fact that he played in Jacksonville, one of the smallest markets in the NFL, it's just we're expecting it. I do hope maybe after a little bit of time, we might see him sneak in one year, but it'll be a long shot. But, you know, he still is one of the best left tackles when healthy, one of the best left tackles ever. But the longevity, I think, is going to be the big thing that holds him back.
Yeah, I agree. And I did a little homework today. Tony was the second overall in 95 in our expansion draft. He was the second pick there. But as that second overall pick, the dude took the Jaguars to the playoffs 4 straight years. I mean, obviously not solely. They had a pretty good crowd of guys around them. But 4 straight years he was in the playoffs with the Jags, including the AFC Championship game year.
Yeah, I don't remember that game. I don't remember that year. So
yeah, that was
sweep that under the bus.
That was a while back, but it happened. We had 5 straight Pro Bowls for Tony. He was on the '90s All-Decade team, and this was his third year eligible for the Hall of Fame. And as a finalist, 3 years in a row, he missed out. So, I mean, naturally, you can only imagine that he's going to be around again in, what's the next one? 2020? The 2020 Hall of Fame?
Yep.
He's probably going to be a finalist again. And for the reasons that you explained, I imagine he may get snubbed again. But the thing is, like, hardly anyone gets in, you know, like, first ballot, maybe second ballot, but I mean, when you get to like third ballot and fourth ballot, you know, like that's when guys usually, you know, usually get in. And I mean, Tony, he's probably like a top 5 offensive lineman in, you know, in the modern era of football, you know?
Yeah. I was just pulling up some of his stats just to look. And one of the, I know one thing that 90 games started, and that's going to be his biggest hindrance. I know I just harped on it, but it's just going to be so hard for him to get in. And, you know, naturally coming from Jacksonville, maybe, I don't know what next year's class looks like. If it is maybe a little bit of a weaker class, or what the next couple classes look like, if they're weaker classes, maybe sneak in, or, you know, slowly build his resume up. I guess I don't even know how you can build a resume up anymore, but just slowly building it up, and hopefully one year he just sneaks in, but it's tough. It's going to be tough for him for sure.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, like, if you look at this class, the 2019 class, you had guys like Tony Gonzalez, Champ Bailey, Ed Reed, Ty Law. Like, those guys were on, like championship-winning teams, you know? Those guys played for, like, I don't know, 10, 12 years or whatever. Like, this is a really tough class. So, I mean, he played in Jacksonville. Jacksonville wasn't a championship-winning team. He didn't play very long. You know, in the latter part of his career, he was, you know, often injured. And like you said, that's going to kind of hinder him getting in a bit. But I think, you know, just given the star power of the 2019 class, it was going to be a hard road for him to make it there anyway.
Yeah, I just slowly pulled up for the 2020 class. Nobody really stands out. Players adding Troy Polamalu, probably be first ballot. Steve Hutchinson and Ty Law, those three guys are gonna be added in as far as players go. So next year maybe could be a little bit of a weird class. Who knows? Just one of those things we'll see next year. And if he gets snubbed again, we'll just complain about it again and start complaining again. Get ready for 2021.
Yep. Well, you know who else may be in the conversation for Hall of Fame in the future? That's Jalen Ramsey.
Ah, yeah. So, Jalen had that article, or, you know, he had his interview today where he was discussing the GQ article, the 2018 season, you know, really just kind of giving a little bit of rundown here. I think that was the first time we've kind of talked to him since the off season, or we've at least heard from him this off season. So it was kind of nice. You know, he is the face of our franchise. He's the most known player on our team. And I, you know, one thing, you know, that was stood out, you know, with this article is that he seemed to have came down to earth this year. And that was a huge, you know, this off season, all we heard, you know, Ramsey says this about a quarterback. Ramsey says that about a quarterback. This guy's so cocky. You know, everybody started to hate his attitude. And I definitely think from this interview, we started to see a little bit of a different side from him. I really enjoyed the interview. Just what do you think about it?
Actually, I thought it was a pretty good interview. The presentation of the interview on the Jaguars website, I thought was terrible. I thought, like, the interview was great. It was really short. The music was obnoxious and loud, but that's just on the presentation side. The actual interview itself, I thought was really good, and it let a lot of fans, including myself, in on, like, a different side of Jalen, or I don't want to say new side, because, you know, he may have been this way all along. You know, we don't know. We only saw, like, the GQ interview and stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, I think a big part of that as well is, you know, his daughter was being born as well, and maybe that just kind of snapped a little bit more of a, I don't want to really kind of say maturity into him, but more of a, I'm a full adult type person now, so maybe need to start looking at things from a different angle. And they even talked about that in the interview, you know, with this child being born. It kind of just, I guess, shook him up a little bit and just kind of, oh man, you know, I'm a dad now, so I'm in charge of another human being. And maybe that's just a little contributor to just the way his attitude has changed around.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that stood out to me watching that interview was how humble he seemed. And I think it has a lot to do with, like you said, a lot of things changed, I think, over the last, 9 months or however long it's been since the GQ interview. But, I mean, you know, he's a father now. He has a daughter. You know, that defense that was so dominant last year, you know, they were kind of brought down to earth a few times this year, you know, So I think there were some things that all kind of came together that maybe, you know, maybe he is a bit more humble. Maybe he, you know, maybe he's always been this way. I don't know. But it really stood out to me how humble he seemed during that interview. And I mean, he's also older and he's got another year in the league under his belt now. So,
yeah, I think another thing as well that, you know, I remember seeing this back when it actually happened, when, you know, Todd Walsh said to him, you know, hey, this is your team, you know. And I think back to that and say, you know, that was, I guess, when they really kind of realized, you know, Bortles isn't going to be the guy and, you know, we're going to have to move off from him. We don't have a franchise quarterback. We have a franchise cornerback, and which is a little bit different from, you know, most teams. But when Todd Walsh said that to him, hey, this is your team now, maybe that just snapped a little bit onto him as well. Like, man, this is going to be my team. Everything that's, you know, the team is going to be a reflection upon him, whether they win or lose. You know, this year, some people might have thought, you know, Ramsey was awful. The Jags defense wasn't up, you know, it was good, but not as great. And it could have been a reflection on him. But just something that I was thinking of, that when Todd Walsh said that to him, could have been a little bit of a wake up call for him as well.
Yeah. And that kind of brings me to the next thing that stood out to me was, you know, in the interview when they were talking about when she asked, you know, about being a captain of the team or being a leader in the locker room, he seemed to, you know, self-aware enough to say, like, you know, I'm not really like a fire up the locker room kind of guy. He said that he had only given one pregame speech since he's been there. So I think, like, you know, it stands out to me. He does his leadership is on the field. And I think the rest of the team kind of, you know, it goes without saying that he's going to lead on the field, you know, at cornerback. But he's not an outspoken locker room, like, rah-rah guy, you know? And I remember the preseason, this past preseason when, you know, when captains were announced, there were some people like, hey, why isn't Jalen a captain? And I think that, you know, that kind of explains that reasoning as to why Jalen isn't a captain of the team. At least, you know, as far as, you know, from a locker room perspective, like a leadership perspective.
For sure. I definitely do think we'll probably end up seeing him as a captain next year, depending upon how they go with, you know, Calais. You know, I think he'll always be a captain. Just awesome guy. Telvin, probably, I don't know what they'll do. You know, Jalen, I think, should be a captain, but it's something we'll discuss later on, you know, when the captains are announced in a different podcast down the road there.
Yeah, I definitely think it'll happen. We'll see. We've got a few months. Hold on. When is preseason start?
Let's see here.
I don't know. You're probably looking at like August or August.
Probably late August. And this year was August. Late August was actually when it started. Or third week was when I got married. So that was the third week of August. So early August, somewhere in August.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out come preseason time who our captains are.
Just something to keep an eye on there going forward there. So kind of on to our next topic. I guess we can really, if we want to talk about the Super Bowl, any quick thoughts or anything like that?
Well, obviously, I didn't have a dog in the fight. I did watch it. I watched half of it on my couch, and then I went over to my neighbor's house, and I had a few beers and some wings, and I watched the second half over there. I thought it was, as far as what I like to see in a football game, I actually enjoyed the game. I enjoy good defensive battles, and obviously this was a low scoring defensive football game with a final score of 13-3. Like, that's ridiculous. You've got the Patriots and the Rams and your final score is 13-3. The Rams score 3 points in the entire game. Like, that's wild.
It's just one of those things that just proves that Belichick really is the best by I don't want to say a wide margin, but he is definitely the best head coach in the NFL right now and still probably the best head coach of all time. It just, he was able to, you know, scheme up to contain that defense or that offense to 3 points. I mean, that was just absurd. I think there was a stat at halftime that was the first time McVay's ever been shut out in a half. And it just goes back to easily how much Belichick, how great of a head coach Belichick really is.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams for 4 quarters had 260 total yards.
Yeah, it's just absurd. And, you know, Gilmore did play a hell of a game. So he was a thing. Hightower played a great game. Patriots defense just absurd, and they were up to the challenge, and they showed it on the field.
Yeah, they really did. Probably my favorite thing about the game, honestly, is that the refs let these guys play for the most part. There was a lot of contact on, I don't know, 4 quarters of this game. You know, receivers are running downfield with DBs draped over them on one side of the ball, and the ball switches sides, and there are receivers running down the field with DBs holding their arms or whatever. Like, the refs were letting these guys play ball. This wasn't a ref ball game. You know, a lot of people tried to, you know, discredit the Patriots a lot for, you know, getting ref, you know, calls for them and stuff. This wasn't necessarily one of those games. This was a really physical game, and the refs were letting these guys go. And a lot of that may have to do with the championship week, you know, with the bad, with the missed PI call and stuff, you know?
Yeah, for sure. They were definitely playing this. They could not get a mistake, especially on the national stage here. But that also boils back to, especially a Belichick coach team, I'm extremely disciplined, not something we're used to down here in Duval. So
that's the truth.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that's a staple of a Belichick program there. You know, rarely do they, you never hear them leading the league in penalties or anything like that. And it's kind of got that Nick Saban effect that you don't want to piss him off and you don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah, right. But, you know, unfortunately, the Jags weren't in this one. We barely missed out in 2018. We weren't anywhere close this year. So hopefully in 12 months, we'll be talking about the Jags taking this game, you know? We'll see. Hopefully.
Yeah, so, we'll just lead that right into our next minor segment here. Just talking about some off-season things. There was that report that came out, I guess, like 4 or 5 days ago. Seen it on the sub that the Eagles were interested in slinging us a third to Jacksonville. What do you got on that?
Well, I mean, first of all, the Eagles were very smart to throw the franchise tag on Nick Foles. They had two options: let him walk and sign a massive deal somewhere, or trade him and actually get something out of him. Because, I mean, he's a hot commodity. You know, whether, I don't know, Jags fans seem to be pretty split, 50-50, maybe, you know, 30-70. I don't know how it's split. I know I don't want Nick Foles here for a couple of reasons, but that's beside the point right now. You know, just the fact that they threw the tag on him and then said, hey, if anybody wants him, come get him. They know he's a hot commodity, and they know somebody is going to throw a third rounder to him. It was a really smart play. Personally, that's going to be a big NO for me, throwing a third rounder for Nick Foles.
If anybody pays attention to me on the sub, which maybe like one of you guys do, I'm not a big Foles guy. I'm not a free agent guy. I don't want to see us throw money at Flacco. I personally am not a Foles guy. We did, you know, sign. We're seeing a whole bunch of interest because, you know, we ROC John DeFilippo. Is that how we pronounce that?
Yeah, sure.
We'll just call him John.
Let's call him Johnny D.
All right. Yeah. Well, so big Johnny D is now the OC down here. We'll see how that goes. So there's obviously a connection, and I definitely think he'll definitely have some type of input. If, you know, the Jags are interested in Foles, we will definitely see some input here. So if we do have to see Foles in a Jags uniform next year, again, naturally we'll be rooting for the guy. We'll be hoping for another Super Bowl MVP. But we'll at least have, he'll have some experience with, Johnny D as OC. So it won't be bad there.
Yeah. I mean, if it happens, it happens. This is, I mean, I don't want our front office to go throw a third rounder for Nick Foles. And then, you know, I don't want, you know, I didn't want them to sign a, I don't know, $20 million a year deal or however much it was, it would end up costing in the offseason. But the thing is, Nick Foles, not just for us, but he's going to be a talked about guy this offseason. Like, who was the guy in Washington? Kirk Cousins.
Oh, Cousins, yeah.
Yeah, like kind of like Kirk Cousins was last year. The only difference is I think Kirk Cousins is probably a better quarterback than Nick Foles, but Nick Foles, you know, just last year came off that Super Bowl MVP. So, I mean, you know, if it happens, it happens. I'll root for the guy. And then, you know, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. But it's not something I hope the front office is actively going out to, you know, to look for. Like, say, you know, what can we throw at the Eagles for Nick Foles? I hope that's, you know, I hope that's not the case. But it remains.
Yeah, I mean,
it remains to be seen.
Yeah, go ahead. I was gonna say, best case scenario, we can magically luck out. I don't see it happening, but maybe he goes to the Giants. I can't see a scenario where the Eagles would give him to the Giants, but that would be just two birds, one stone right there for us.
Yeah, it really would. It would open up our, you know, our chances for, like for Dwayne Haskins in the draft, if that's the, you know, the look they were going for. All of this,
yeah, absolutely.
All of this, yeah, really just kind of boils down to our quarterback situation, which, you and I are both really vocal Blake Bortles supporters, and we have been for a while. But unfortunately, you know, his future here doesn't look, you know, quite that great. What do you think is going on with Bortles in the offseason?
So, you know, this past offseason, you know, I can even remember our prediction that thread for this year, you know, and I just, you know, Bortles is going to make people eat crow this year. And, you know, I was just a big believer in the guy. You know, I wasn't expecting a top 10 quarterback out of him because that's not who he is. You know, all we needed him to do this year was be above average. That was it. You know, and I think that especially the front office, and that's what they expected was, hey, you know, he's very inconsistent. He was an average quarterback last year. Maybe we can get him to take the next step, be a little bit more consistent, be above average, threw the contract at him. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out. So his time is definitely up, I think, with us. As much as it, I hate it, because, you know, I love the guy to death. He's honestly, he's up there with Fred Taylor as one of my probably my favorite Jag of all time. You know, just a down-to-earth guy, great, absolute guy, you know, off-the-field guy. But unfortunately, just the play didn't work out. So now we're at the point of we have his contract. What are we going to do? How are we going to eat that cap? That's going to be one of the biggest storylines as far as the Jags go this offseason. Dream scenario, I guess, if we had to, you know, when the Texans unloaded the Brock Osweiler contract, you know, they sent a second over to Cleveland with Brock Osweiler. They ate his contract and they ended up releasing him. But if I had to, maybe we'll see something like that similar. Because I know that front office is not going to want to eat that contract. If we have to, we will. One thing I was thinking, you know, just the circle of life as a Jags fan, that third that we got for Fowler, maybe sling that third and Blake to a team that's got a lot of cap. Maybe they need a good backup. Maybe that was, if I had to guess, that would be a nice scenario for us to unload his contract. But at worst, we eat the contract, release him, and we just eat a lot of his money there.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly, it really sucks. Like, as a couple of guys who love Bortles as much as we do, like, he's such a likable guy, and like a relatable guy, but you know that it doesn't translate to, you know, success on the field. And ultimately, when you're paying a guy as much money as he's making, that's that you know, you need that success in return. So you know, I've always supported the guy while he's here. But you know, if he's got to go, he's got to go. And you know, when he's gone, I'm going to support the next guy who takes his place, you know.
Yeah, support him too, you know. It's you know, I'm a Jags fan first, just like you are, you know. So the team is always going to be number one. But especially like a guy like Blake, you know, he's going to be a guy that I'm going to follow for the rest of his career, no matter what happens, if he's a backup or he gets another shot. You know, our luck, he goes to the Patriots, Belichick and Brady retire, Bortles and McDaniels take over, and then they rule for the next 10 years. That's probably our luck, but for sure, he's definitely going to be a guy. You know, I don't have a non Jags player that I love, so he'll be the first, and definitely be something that will me and you definitely will keep an eye on for the rest of his career, for sure.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't go to a division rival or anyone that we ever have to play. So I'll root for him as long as we never have to play him. I'm thinking comparing him to like Blaine Gabbert, like when Blaine was gone, like Blaine was such an unlikable guy, and Blake is like the exact opposite, like personality wise, as Blaine was, you know, where it's like I love Blake regardless of how much he sucks, where like Blaine, I already hated him, and then I hated him even more because he sucked, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's you know, just like we were saying, you know, Bortles just down the earth guy, and you know, that's one thing. Like, they were on the Part of My Take podcast. You know, he said that there was just no communication between him and the front office, and that's definitely a sign. So we'll definitely be paying attention to it, just another storyline we'll have, and maybe at least, you know, it's something interesting to keep an eye on for us this year in the off season.
Yeah, a couple of important things came out of that podcast, though. One, Bortles' code does still work to the front gate, so he can at least get in and work out. That's good. The other important thing to note is you actually got that shirt that PFT was wearing. So how?
Oh yeah.
Badass.
Somebody put that link on in our on the thread of the Part of My Take, and I spent zero time buying it. You know, my wife probably she hasn't seen it yet, so we'll see how that goes. And now I just need an excuse to wear it out to public somewhere.
If I had it, I would wear it out into public everywhere. Unfortunately, like you pointed out a few days ago, apparently you're a much bigger Bortles fan than I. So I didn't buy the shirt because I can't, you know, I can't justify spending $30 on a t-shirt plus like $7 shipping, regardless of whose face is all over it. But it is a really badass shirt. So I'm a little jealous.
So I guess that will kind of on that thing here, and we'll just kind of wrap up our Bortles here. What's your favorite memory or quote of Bortles since his time here in Duval?
It, you know, it's so hard for me to come up with one favorite memory or quote. I really loved the first like interview of his house. That's probably like my all-time favorite. Like.
Yeah, that's the one that blew up on like, the NFL subreddit. Yeah.
It was like, I guess it was also like a Barstool interview, but I mean, it was so cool because it was the first time anyone ever had like an inside look on like Blake's life. And like, you really found out like how, you know, how cool and down to earth he was, you know, the drinking Bud Light and having a cool scooter and you know, working construction, ripping cigs, you know, like that was really all of our, like, our first look into his life and like how, like, he's like us, but with millions of dollars, you know?
Right. And then the ability to throw, well, throw a football, at least probably better than us.
But yeah. I mean, he can, even if
it's how much better,
even if he's not a natural thrower of the football, he's a lot more natural than I watch from my computer chair, or my couch. So
yeah, he's more of a natural runner of the football.
But that's, I mean, all time, like, just, I guess I would call it a segment. Just that Blake segment, that interview is probably my top.
Yeah. God, he's just, there's just so many things that, you know, especially, you know, I've loved the guy, you know, I've followed him. I have three Bortles jerseys just like you, you know, followed his almost like every time this dude's in the news, talking about it, just loving him to death. For me, you know, my favorite, I guess, Bortles related moment last year when, you know, we were playing the Texans and Bortles just shredded the Texans. I think it was 300 yards. I think it I can't even remember how many touchdowns. Maybe three, four. I don't know. I'm too lazy to look it up right now. So we'll say like eight touchdowns. And after the game, Clowney calls him trash. And you know, Bortles just doesn't give a shit. He was like, hey, you know, if I'm trash, whatever, we won the game. And that was just, that's just another thing, you know, like the guy, honestly, he didn't care what his stat line was. You know, you could look at that, the playoff game versus the Bills, 87 rushing yards, 87 passing yards. The dude didn't care. He didn't care if he threw 0 yards in the game. All he wanted to do was win the game. And that just kind of just showed what kind of person he was as well. And you know, like you said, he's a down to earth guy. Whenever I win the lottery, hopefully sometime next week, after doing this, I'll charter a plane out and, we'll just, have some guys from the sub, some guys from the Discord and, have some beers with the guy and just hang out with him one day. So, that's the dream there. And, first thing I buy, when I get the lot or when I hit the lottery, that'll be it.
Yeah, make sure you invite me, dude.
yeah, we'll play a lottery. We'll have some fun of who gets invited.
So I guess we'll start wrapping it up. We've got a little bit of news.
Subreddit news here.
Yeah. I know today I was talking with Daniel Popper. He writes for The Athletic. Which I know a lot of people, honestly don't have a subscription to The Athletic, but we know a few people, like, you know, a few people on the Discord that, you know, actively, like, have subscriptions and actively read it, and, you know, they say it's a good read, but Daniel Popper, I follow his Twitter, I follow him on Twitter, so I check all the updates that he posts on Twitter. We're working on setting up a date and time for an AMA on the subreddit. So that's in the works, and you know, we'll update you guys whenever we, you know, we get that all figured out.
Yeah, and I messaged DiRocco from ESPN. You know, he's came to the sub a couple times here. I have like 6 followers on Twitter, and that dude's one of them. I don't know why he follows me, but yeah, I reached out to him before we started this podcast just to, hey, you know, you'll always have a good time. You enjoy when you come by. So we'll message him out onto that. And we'll, you know, he should come by here. He's actually a really good guy. We actually did luck out with him as far as a, ESPN writer. You know, some people don't like him, but you know, you can't please everybody. I don't mind. I like him. I enjoy him, and just another person that we can talk to that's a little bit closer to the organization than some of us are.
Yeah, I enjoy D-Rock. I think he supplies pretty good content, and he's always nice to have on the sub. He answered a lot of questions for us the last time he was on, so I look forward to having D-Rock back. We don't really have a lot else going on right now for the offseason.
Yeah. Without, you know, getting into much detail here, you know, we have our mod chat, and I can kind of tell you guys some good stuff here, but hopefully just getting maybe a little bit out there. We'll have a little bit more interaction this year with maybe some players or, you know, something going down the road here. Again, a little bit of a teaser, but we'll I'll keep you guys up to date on that whenever it happens. But just know that we do have a little bit more in the works.
Well, hopefully, you know, we can get it all worked out, and, you know, hopefully we'll have plenty to talk about in the future. But I think that pretty much wraps it up for us here.
Yeah, so we'll see how this goes here. If you guys are interested, let us know. We'll think about I'll work on maybe sending it out to the actual Reddit here. And one thing we did talk about here, or at least we had an idea of, was me and JC working it here every week, and then bringing on somebody random every week as well. So it'd be 2+1. And just a nice little thing to have some people, some new talk or some new ideas, different perspective on some things. And I think that'd be kind of nice, you know, maybe somebody different every week other than Lauman.
Lomaine.
To come and just talk with us.
Yeah, I agree. I know he was looking forward to jumping on. He had mentioned jumping on with me, and then he's going to be mad because this is 2 weeks in a row that I've kind of swerved him on, like, recording. So, you know, if you're listening to this, send me an angry react or something. So, yeah, I guess that pretty much wraps it up here. We're going to try to do these regularly as long as we have something to talk about. So, like Crom said, let us know if you dig what we're doing here, and we'll keep bringing you content. So,
yeah, and if you do listen, I think when we post, if we post it on the Reddit, the sub, we will I'll have maybe like a little bit of a Google questionnaire. Of maybe some ideas, maybe some questions here, you know, what do you think? Do you like the length? You know, just some little basic stuff like that. And we will cater to some of you guys' needs. We'll just take it from there. So with that, guys, we will hopefully see you next week. If we get some interest, we'll see how it goes, and wrap it up today.
Yeah. Well, thanks for, you know, thanks for listening. I am JC, JC Strickland 89.
I'm Chromatose, aka, I guess, the second best mod here. So,
hey. All right, guys, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.